time for a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Frank.
Well, you got the whole crew in studio, and man, we are sweating blood, sweat, and tears for you guys.
Yeah.
The fucking AC went out in my house last night, and it's Sunday, so good luck getting somebody to fix it. My landlord, he's working on it, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen today, so here I am in misery. Bringing y'all the show regardless.
I think I saw your landlord working on it. He was sitting on his porch drinking a beer, thinking about how hot it must be in this house.
And I even told you guys like to wear something cool because it's hot and y'all wear black.
Yep.
What the hell's wrong with y'all?
We listened to Johnny Cash on the way here.
Well, see, I'm already cool, so I don't need to wear nothing on top of it.
Dude, you've never been cool in your life, okay? So, but in fact, we are so sweating that if you don't follow us on social media, on Instagram, we released a new Instagram has a new app out called IGTV, which is like little videos. And me and Matt put a little Instagram video on there talking about the sweat and of our balls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I must have done that before I got here.
Well, we didn't. At that point, you hadn't texted us that you were coming.
So. Well, because I'm driving. And you know, when the wheels are turning, the phone is down.
I don't give a fuck. We didn't know you were coming. Okay. So that's the point. So there are some things going on the RebelRadioPodcast.com. Arnold showed back up after I guess mad at us that
probably
he wasn't at Comicpalooza, and he finally put a new episode out of Comics with Arnold.
Yeah, or he ran out of Cuban cigars and got lost in Cuba or and, something.
He sent me
Arnold
a message.
Don't get lost.
He sent me a message saying he's working on another one for this week. So
yeah,
it's a pretty funny thing on our YouTube channel we started called Comics with Arnold, where our good friend from Austria, Arnold, reads comics as only he can.
Yeah.
And it's pretty damn funny. So go check that out. So how's y'all's week been?
Good. Cooler headed up to this day.
Mine's been better than yours at this point.
A lot of rain this
week.
Yes,
a lot of rain.
So yeah. It's kept the temperatures down. Like now today, when I wish it could be freaking raining, because AC's not working, it's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
Like 97 degrees, sun blazing down. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel as humid. Cause I know why I know it's not as humid.
Why?
Because I ain't drenched in sweat. Like, really, I would be like, y'all could just swim around me because that's how much sweat I would be pouring
out.
Now
that we've just grossed everyone out.
Yeah, I know.
And, yeah, so nobody did anything exciting this week since last we saw
each other. Not really, man.
It's been kind of a plain Jane week with the rain.
Oh, you know what? I saw two movies.
Oh, wait, my wife? Yeah. It's been like a week like my wife. What?
I saw Incredibles 2 and Jurassic World, The Lost Kingdom, Fallen Kingdom.
Whatever kingdom it is.
Yeah,
some kingdom.
At this point.
The Lost Park. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the box office numbers this weekend. I'm sure it did pretty good, but I heard it wasn't that good. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It definitely, you know, it could have been better. You know, seeing as it's a sequel, we expected more from the first one. But it is an entertaining film.
Recognition.
Yeah, a lot of dinosaurs. A lot of recognition to the old films. So that's cool. Some cool parts in it, but, you know, you just wish it was a little bit more organized. And, well, hey, at least Injun's not the bad guy again this time. But, Incredibles 2.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Well, mild spoiler. I mean, you didn't see a bunch
there's
of...
There's that one Jurassic World nerd that's going to be like, man, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
You don't ruin it for me.
But and then Incredibles 2 was great. You know about halfway through the film you kind of get the idea who the villain is. But hey, it's a kids movie. You know, let's not critique
dude,
the kids movies too much.
What's with all these dudes in the Elastigirl's butt, man? What is this?
Dude,
it's a cartoon character for crying out loud, people.
Dude, she's like the original Thickstagram girl.
But it's a cartoon character. It's weird.
You know what?
You can draw any chick's butt big.
It's not weird.
It's weird,
it's
man.
It's weird when you send us a bunch of pictures of her, Matt.
Yeah, I don't, like, it's a cartoon character. It does nothing for me.
No?
It's no.
Now, we all watch Tom and Jerry, right? I'm just using this to prove a point. Play ball with me. We watched Tom and Jerry, right?
Okay.
Right? Okay, you remember the steak that would always fall out of the truck? Didn't that just look like the juiciest steak to
no,
you ever?
It was just
no,
a
it was a cartoon steak.
You know what? You guys are weird.
You have a cartoon problem, sir.
He probably gets turned on when, you know, Bugs Bunny dresses up.
No, just Babs.
So you watched those. So let's start the show off then with Download This like we always do. We tell people what we've been streaming, watching, downloading this week. And Frank, since you missed last week's, what have you watched lately? Download the stream.
Oh, I'm finishing up The Defenders so I can start watching second season of Luke Cage.
Yep.
But I've also been watching The Rain.
The
it's
Rain?
A like I think it's from it's a Dutch movie.
Oh, okay.
But it does have English, you know, dialogue. And it's basically, you know, people jack with Mother Nature, so Mother Nature bites back. You know, so don't go out in the rain.
So whenever you hear that song, Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
And yeah.
You're like, yeah, yeah, I have.
And then you run inside if you see the rain.
Myself, other than the two movies, for some reason, I just wanted to watch Iron Man 2 just because I wanted to see the suit come out, the Mark V. Because I was like, you know what? I missed the Mark V suit that just, you know, he steps into it and it's like, and everything locks in. And then even though it's, you know, not the best Marvel movie, I just like that part. And, yeah, that's what I did. You?
I, watched a couple things this week. I saw the new Tomb Raider. That was, kind of boring. It had some decent action sequences in it, but that's about it. Alicia Vikander, she did fine as Lara Croft. Didn't have a problem with her in the role, but yeah. Otherwise it just
liked her kinda, Ex Machina.
It was just kind of, you know. But I did watch a couple things that, one that I probably enjoyed more than I thought I would, and one that I really enjoyed. The first one, I did watch Rampage from The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson, whatever he goes by nowadays. And yeah, I saw the trailers and I was like, eh, you know, whatever. But I was like, I'll download it just for the hell of it. And I actually liked it more than I probably should have. Some really bad dialogue in it, but overall, an enjoyable film. You know, some decent special effects and a fun little movie. Better than a lot of the crap The Rock's done lately.
You know, we are doing a Kevin Smith movie today, and one thing I remember Kevin Smith saying about The Phantom Menace is going in with low expectations, and you surprise yourself on how much you like a film. And, you know, sounds like you did go in with some low expectations here, and, you know, you were surprised because of it, probably because your standards weren't too high.
Probably so.
Yeah.
And then a movie that doesn't even come out on Blu-ray until August 7th, leaked out very early as we watched The Death of Superman and the DC animated movie, which is really, really good. You know, DC animated movies, for the most part, have been really good overall. But lately, the last couple of years, they've been a little lackluster. You know, Teen Titans Judas Contract was pretty good, but
yeah.
Justice League vs. Teen Titans, I didn't really care for that.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Gotham by Gaslight was okay. The latest Suicide Squad was just okay. They haven't done anything really, really good in a long time. And the Death of Superman, though, I would probably put it right up there with Under the Red Hood and Flashpoint Paradox, and among the best of them.
Wow.
I really, really enjoyed the hell out of it. Yeah, they did it a couple years ago, or 10 years ago, when they first started these. They did Superman Doomsday, but that was very much a scaled-down version of the story.
Mm-hmm.
This is more like the comics, even though it is the new 52 Justice League.
I was about to ask you about that.
But it's fleshed out. It's more the Justice League's involved, and Superman has to come in and help the Justice League. Doomsday's origin's done the same. They give Lex Luthor a little more to do than just be a chess pusher, I guess is
the
word. Yeah,
pretty much.
And they leave it open. There's four post-credit sequences leading into, because they're going to make the Reign of Superman animated film to follow up this. So they're doing it right this time, and it's really well done, really well animated. And I hope it's a sign that DC Animated returns to form to do some of the really great stuff they were doing several years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, The Death of Superman, that was a comic that got people more interested in Superman again, you know, because Superman can't die, right? You know, he's not supposed to be able to die.
Dude, I remember that being, like, all over the news. That was, like, one of the first times, like, comic books where it's, like, boom, like, morning news, evening news.
Yeah. It was a big deal. And the great thing about this story is that it gets the emotional weight of it right. And sometimes I felt like the Superman Doomsday, because it was so rushed, it didn't have that emotional weight.
Yeah,
Superman dies, like, 20 minutes of the film, then he's back 10 minutes later, and it's just, like, very similar to how I felt with him dying in Batman vs. Superman, then coming back in Justice League. It's just sort of like there was no emotional weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
You knew he was coming back, you know. And I think you got, this is a spoiler, but the movie's been out for 3 months. I think you got more emotional weight out of Infinity War, even though you know some of those characters will probably come back, than you did from Superman dying in Batman vs. Superman. But, and that's the great thing about Death of Superman, is it does that great job of, as for a cartoon, which is very difficult to do, which Disney is great doing, make you care about the characters. And I really felt in this, you cared about Superman. When he dies in it, you're like, wow. You know, not that that's a spoiler, it's called Death of Superman.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, he dies in
it. And so that's what I watched. I tried to watch Pacific Rim Uprising. I got like 10 minutes into it and just, I don't know, I just wasn't feeling it. I wasn't vibing it. Yeah,
it was okay. It just wasn't as fun as the first one. First one was fun because, you know, it's like big giant robots fighting big giant, you know, monsters. This one's kind of like, yeah, it's more of the same. So I didn't really have that.
And like, I love John Boyega, man. And I was hoping he would, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those movies that just kind of like, it barely got made because, you know, they didn't want, the studio didn't really want to do a Pacific Rim sequel. And then when Del Toro backed off to do Shape of Water, it lost its director, so I think the movie just never got put together properly. And I'm sure I'll finish it one day. You know, I've got it on my Plex app, so, you know.
Makes sense.
But yeah. I just wasn't feeling it the other night when I tried to watch it. And I think that's about all I've seen this week. I haven't downloaded anything new. I mean, I've still been playing The Last of Us Remastered, which I talked about last week on Download This. But that's about it.
Okay.
So, and did Frank already said we downloaded it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, The Rain.
That's right.
The
some,
Rain.
Some weird Dutch film. He's probably got Goldmember in it.
Dutch oven.
Yeah.
But, I like gold.
Yeah, I'm in Dutch.
My faja. Your faja.
So.
All right.
So let's get into 1999's Dogma. We're big Kevin Smith fans, obviously.
Yes.
Long time fan since the beginnings of his stuff. You might have come in a little bit later, Matt, because you're the young pup of the group.
I came in at 95 with Mallrats.
It's not too late in the game. He had only done Clerks at that point. Yeah. And Mallrats. But, and why are we starting with the fourth film in the Kevin Smith films? And, well, because, honestly, this is probably his best film. As much as people give credit to Clerks and Mallrats for getting him started.
It's his more star-studded film.
It's definitely his most star-studded, but I also think it might be his most smartly written. I know people might say Chasing
for
Amy
sure.
is his best film, but yeah. I just really, there's something about this movie is like, part of it maybe was the controversy of it. Part of it was just the cleverness of it, I think, that it appealed to me more than some of his other movies. And I remember when I first read that he was making Dogma, it didn't sound like, I don't really want to watch that, you know? And so it sounded like, that sounds like a stupid idea. Yeah. Then when I saw it, I was like, wow, this is really funny and really well done. And I'm Catholic and was raised Catholic.
Both of
and
us.
I didn't find it controversial at all. I just took it for what it was. Because, I hate to say this, but he speaks a lot of truth in this movie about it.
And can I say something?
Yeah, go for it.
I was not raised Catholic, so I didn't care.
But in case you haven't seen it, Dogma is basically the story of two angels who are stuck on Earth, and they want to get back into heaven. And they're stuck on Earth because they kind of, like, committed sins and betrayed God.
Yes.
So God won't let them back into Earth. So they want to find a loophole to get back into heaven. But in creating said loophole, they're going to destroy the Earth because they don't realize it.
Destroy all of existence.
All of existence.
Yes, because God is infallible.
That's right. So the last scion, which is played by Linda Fiorentino, she is brought to two prophets because she has to stop Loki and Bartleby, which are played by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Fresh off of Good Will Hunting.
From going through this loophole and destroying all of existence.
And they're really good in this film.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're best friends in real life, so it only makes sense that the buddy angels, you know, transfiction is, you know, is the way it goes, you know.
And that's why it gets really dark in this.
He does, man.
And the loophole to get in is a new cardinal who's played by George Carlin, who is amazing, and he creates the buddy Christ. It's like a new modern-day version of Catholicism.
Yeah.
And, so whenever he lets everyone come through the entryway in his church, they're all forgiven for their sins.
Catholicism,
and
wow.
Catholicism, wow.
Yes.
So these Bartleby and Loki want to go through his doors of his church so that they become mortal, and they die, and they can be killed again and go back to heaven. So it sounds crazy because it is in a lot of ways, but it's got a really great cast. It's got Alan Rickman, Ben Affleck, we said Matt Damon, Linda Fiorentino, Chris Rock, Selma Hayek. And anybody I'm forgetting. Of course, Jason Lee. Kevin Smith. Jason Lee is in it. And Jason Lee was actually going to play Loki or Bartleby, but scheduling conflicts caused him to back out.
Did you say who played God?
Alanis Morissette plays God.
Yes.
Yep.
Jason Lee had to take the part of Asriel, which is like a hell's minion. Who's
a demon.
Causing problems on Earth.
A former muse.
Yeah. Right.
And but Jason Lee's scheduling conflicts kept him from playing one of the angels, so... Matt, because Affleck's friends with Matt Damon, he told Kevin Smith, it's like, well, what about Matt Damon? And they brought him in for the role. So the cast comes together really nicely. It's probably one of the best cast of a Kevin Smith film. In fact, Kevin told his buddy Jason Mewes, like, man, you got to really bring it for this because this is Alan Rickman, man. He's a classically trained British actor, and you can't be fucking up because he'll tell you.
Yeah.
So Mewes got clean. He not only memorized the script, or his lines, we memorize the whole script because he's like, I'm not going to piss off that Rickman dude.
Yep. You know?
And Jason Mewes does do an excellent job in this movie. Out of all the Kevin Smith films he did, this might be the best job he's done in one of the films. And it's because he took the time to not piss off that Rickman dude.
Yeah.
So, what was the first time you watched Dogma?
The first time I watched Dogma was whenever it came on, like, it was on, like, HBO or Cinemax, like, in the early 2000s. So, probably, like, 5 years after it was actually released, and it ended up on cable as one of just the random shows that they will show for, like, a month or two all the time.
Right.
And that was the first time I ever saw it, and I was just like, what is this movie? It was kind of confused at times because, you know, whenever it would come on, you know, there's no DVR at the time, you know, so I'd pop it up in the middle of the movie or towards the end. Most of the time it was towards the end, so I never got to see the beginning, really. But, yeah, about 2003, 2004, something like that. You guys saw...
I saw it in theaters. It was just before I met this fucker right here next to me.
Yeah.
And I don't remember who I saw it with. I know I saw it with someone. Mm-hmm. I just don't remember. But I saw it in theaters. I do remember it because at that point, I was already a Kevin Smith fan. I didn't see Clerks in theaters, but I did see Mallrats in theaters, and I did see Chasing Amy in theaters. But this, mm-hmm. So I saw Dogma in theaters. But that's when I first saw it.
I'm going to go with probably, for as I can remember, the first time I saw it was probably over at Mark's house. He's probably like, hey, you want to come over and watch Dogma or some shit like that? And I was like, sure. Probably popped in the old VHS tape. Yes, I said VHS tape.
No, it was probably DVD at that point. Because,
was it? It was something.
I own it on DVD, so I never owned it on VHS. And
maybe.
Yeah, at that point, like, because this is 1999, so DVD.
Because I know when it came out, we weren't hanging out, and I'm pretty sure you invited me, because I think even though I'd seen like the others, I probably watched every Kevin Smith movie with Mark at some point.
Right, because back then, we started hanging out in the summer of 2000. Okay.
Like
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like a little bit earlier in 2000.
And this probably came out on video sometime that year.
Yeah.
Because you know, video took like 6 to 8 months back then, even on DVD. And I think I bought it, and I think you probably came and watched it.
Well, I think it's like last two movies are probably the only two that we haven't watched together.
Well, huh? His last two?
Yeah.
Well,
Tusk?
It depends
Tusk
on which movies you're talking about. Yeah, it is.
I know Tusk was the last one.
Well, Yoga Hosers.
But and that one. We haven't watched those two together.
Well, I saw it on Netflix, but it's not. Don't worry. You didn't miss it.
No, but you know what I mean. Or Red State, or you know what I mean. Like, any of those good ones.
All the View Askewverse films I've seen in theaters. I think I saw Clerks 2 with...
Me?
Yeah. And Jay, of course, Jay and Bob Strike Back. But we're talking about Dogma. This film is just, it caused a lot of controversy when it came out because it challenges the ideas of what Catholicism is.
Mm-hmm.
And Catholics didn't like that.
Really organized religion all together, because that's what Chris Rock alludes to towards the end. He talks about beliefs versus ideas, because ideas can be changed, but beliefs can't. And people will die for them, they'll kill for them, and that's where the Catholic religion went wrong.
I almost feel the way that, you know, like Matt Damon was trying to explain to the nun.
Matt Damon was trying to explain to the nun at the very beginning.
I feel more like that.
And what's funny is, like, it starts out with the, you know, challenging the idea of Catholicism and really all organized religions at the very beginning. So it's like, it lets you know, kind of the tone of this film. You know, it's going to, it's going to throw that conversation out there.
Well, in fact, his book, Tough Shit, that I've been reading.
Yeah.
He talks about how the studio wasn't sure how to market the film because of the controversy. So the whole thing at the beginning with the title card and the platypus was something that Kevin threw into the film without telling the studio. And then when they had a screening, they were like, what? But they let it slide because he was trying to make a joke of it. Like, you know, basically, like, don't take this too seriously, people. Because Weinstein, who, you know, we know is a creep now, begged Kevin, like, you have to put something at the beginning of the film apologizing. You have to, you know, we can't just release it, you know. And he's like, okay, I got something. And he ends up putting the platypus thing on, and Weinstein didn't know. And he's like, what the fuck is that? But he let it slide anyway because, you know, he realized it was a joke.
Yeah.
And, So you're absolutely right. It challenges, but at the same time, it lets you know, like,
hey, it's a joke. You know, it's comedy. It's all
different ways of looking at things.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, we don't have to be so uptight about it like the, you know, like the group that he ended up protesting with, which we'll talk about later.
And
I'll let you talk about
that. And some of that with the controversial casting, too. Salma Hayek, who's a Mexican actress, being cast as a muse. Mm-hmm. People found that controversial, being, you know, and she plays like a stripper who's trying to refine her way to inspire people, her own inspiration.
Well, one of our many favorite scenes of her.
She inspires me by being a stripper.
Yes.
Chris Rock, of course, played a black 13th apostle.
Yeah.
You know, what? 13th apostle. Last time I checked, when I remember from Bible school, there were only 12. Mm-hmm. But hey, and his name is what, Rufus?
Yeah.
And
they hated that little part in the trailer where he was like, Jesus was black? Hell yeah. And he owes me $12. Yeah. And I was like, so, yeah.
Of course, Alanis Morissette as God.
Yeah.
And she was originally going to be cast as the Last Scion.
Okay.
Bethany in the film, but she was touring at the time. So they were able to bring her in for a day, at least, to film her part as God. And we'll talk a little bit more later. Kevin Smith actually had a sequel where he was going to have Alanis Morissette play the Scion. The second one, she would have been the daughter of Bethany.
But you know what I find it funny is that here's a really great singer, but yeah, you can't hear her voice. Otherwise, your brain would explode.
Yeah.
Right. She plays God. And from controversial casting decisions, there was protesting the film. One protest, in fact, as you just mentioned, Kevin Smith went to and joined, and he got interviewed by a TV station and he played it all, said he was Brian Johnson.
Yeah, which is who he went with to go protest.
And he goes, I get mistaken for him a lot. And he gets interviewed by television at this protest, which is really funny, actually. And
if you've never heard, he has this whole spiel about it. He talked about it at like a con or something. And he talks about how much time they spent putting glitter on their signs and that there's supposed to be 1,500 people there. And so he and his friend Brian Johnson, they make these elaborate signs. They drive up there. And they only see a crowd of like 15 people, so they're like, oh, okay, these are the people that are just going to watch the protest. And he's like, no, it turns out that was the protest. He's like, so his sign said dogma is dog shit, and his friend had one that says dogma is hell. And this lady actually walked up to him, and she's like, oh, you can't have that sign. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I'm trying to protest the film. Well, we don't want that kind of attention. And he's like, well, what do you want me to do? He's like, well, cover up the bad word. And he's like, well, then it says dogma is dog. And so she's like, well, cover up the last two letters. He's like, yeah, so I'm walking around the sign. It says dogma is shh.
I have to say, like, while you're listening, you talk about that, I can hear Frank breathing in the microphones, his mouth wide open like he's waiting for a dick to jump in or something.
No.
Mark's over here, I guess, fantasizing.
But I'm just like, realize, I looked over at Frank, he's over there.
I'm just laughing at him.
Jump in, guys. Yeah. But yeah, so.
But we know what Mark fantasizes about now.
So he gets caught in his own protest, and it almost turns on him.
Yeah, because the reporter is like, he says she looks at him, and then she looks at her clipboard, looks at him, looks at her clipboard, starts talking to her cameraman, goes over, and then he's like, is he you? No. He's like, he is him. And she's like, no, are you Kevin Smith? Are you the guy? Oh, no, I just get that all the time. And she doesn't believe him whatsoever. You know, and he uses his friend's name, who he's there protesting with, and he acts he's like, oh, well, I've seen Clerks, but, you know, that was pretty funny, but I don't know about this dogma film. I've heard it's bad. And so, as she even says, whenever the news story airs, she's like, yeah, this guy who looks like Kevin Smith and wouldn't admit it, we interviewed him, and, you know, we think it's Kevin Smith, but he wouldn't admit it. So I thought that was pretty hilarious. His friend the whole time is like, oh, maybe we should go. But he stayed, and that was a funny story that I heard. It's about a 10-minute thing on YouTube. You can look it up. I mean, he tells it better than probably anyone could. But, yeah, man. What a guy. Being in character, even in his own protesting his own movie. That's hilarious.
And, he actually, it got so bad, he got a couple of death threats on him from the film.
Oh, I bet.
Nothing turned out seriously, but it's one of the reasons he canceled the proposed sequel, because he looked at, as in modern times, he felt like he was going to have Islam in the film.
Oh,
and
okay.
He goes, man, if I say anything bad about them, it's one thing to have death threats by Americans, but if I get a death threat from someone Islamic, man, they're going to come for my ass.
Yeah.
So he decided it was a better idea just not to do the sequel at all. Mm-hmm. And the idea was that Lance Morissette was going to play the Scion, play Bethany's daughter, that way she can come back and play the role that he had wanted her to play in the original.
Yeah.
But it never happened, and I'm kind of glad. I think this movie stands on its own as it is.
It does.
Let's talk about the angels and the way they work in this film, man. Like, every angel's dressed the same. You don't even really realize it. They all have hoodies on, and each color in their hoodie is supposed, like, the top of it is supposed to represent their halos.
Oh, okay.
It's a small little tidbit in the film people didn't know. So Affleck, Damon, and Alan Rickman's hoodies both look just slightly different, representing their halos.
Well, they're three but different they're all kinds dressed of angels.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have, you know, Alan Rickman, who is the voice, and you have Barnaby, who is a watcher, and you have Matt Damon, who is now a watcher after being, like, the angel of death, pretty much. Loki. Sorry, Loki. Not the Loki that tried to rule all of Asgard. But, you know, Sir Alan Rickman. Expelliarmus was before Harry Potter, but I just like saying Expelliarmus.
So Matt, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Does your wife ever tell you you remind her of an angel?
I don't like where this is going. Oh, you're talking about the wienerless part of the angel. Ha ha. That's very funny, Frank. I forgot. Yeah, so all these angels are wienerless.
Yeah, and in fact, Alan Rickman likes to show his off in the film.
Yeah, like, he pulled it down, and he's, as Johnny Depp would say, a eunuch.
Yeah. Unfortunately, so are the muses, you know, because, you know, Salma Hayek, like, didn't have nothing either.
Jason Lee, Jason Lee. Well, I don't know. We don't know about Jason Lee.
He didn't drop trowel.
Yeah, he did not drop trowel. I think the only knock that some people have on this film is like, Jason Lee's character is just kind of, he's just kind of there. But it's like, you know, he's very, very limited to what he could have done because of the scheduling conflicts that they had. Obviously, he was much more prominent in Mallrats. Here he has, you know, he and pops in Amy, here and there. Course, yeah. Chasing Amy.
And, you know, there's also the movie Restaurant, which appears in other Kevin Smith. This is the first movie it appears in. Which is funny because I thought for sure it appeared like in Clerks or something else. But I guess it was mentioned maybe. But this is the first movie it appears in. Of course, it appears in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Clerks 2. So we get further appearances of movies later on. But this is the first time the movie's Restaurant appears. That's big news.
That is cool.
You know, for movies. But the Angels, man, that was some of the best casting. Affleck and Damon and Rickman do a really good job of their roles in this movie. Like, Rickman is very convincing as Metatron. You know, like he would, you know, the voice of God, but he also will rip your head off if he probably had to.
Yes.
And Damon and Affleck have a good rapport in this, coming off of, like you said, Good Will Hunting. They're going back and forth with each other, and they come across really naturally, and it's really well done. And Kevin Smith has talked many times about, like, he's amazed he was able to put a cast here like this in the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a really, really good cast for the late 90s.
This was actually supposed to be a second film, but he did not want to follow up with this after Clerks.
Right, he had written the script. The very first draft of the script was written as early as 1990.
Yeah.
But he was like, he put it on the shelf because he wanted to be a better filmmaker before he made it. And, of course, he went on to do a few films and finally got around to making Dogma. And so it went through several changes over the years, I'm sure, if it was written in 1990 originally. I'm sure he made a lot of changes to it.
Probably go back and look at some more religious stuff to add in there. And
yeah. And what's,
go through.
As funny as this movie is, and there's not a whole lot of, like, poop and fart humor
Most of
in
it
here.
Comes from Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah.
But even that, it's not over.
There is a shit demon in this movie.
Yeah.
Made of shit, literally.
Yeah,
and
literally.
It's defeated by Silent Bob with potpourri.
Yes.
Basically.
And that's a really good scene, though. It's really cool. And there was actually a scene written that was deleted where the Golgotha monster comes back towards the end of the film. But then God turns into, like, a flower pot or something.
Oh.
And they said it felt like too much. And there was, and test audience says the one Golgotha scene was enough. And so they ended up scrapping it. I guess it was filmed without completed special effects, apparently.
Okay.
But it was put into some test screenings of the film, and they ended up cutting it out.
You only have so much poop in your movie.
It's true.
Yeah, I guess so. But that's one of my favorite scenes, because it gives Silent Bob a really great moment. And we're going to talk about that here in a few. We're going to talk about our favorite Jay and Silent Bob moments from all the films. Some other thoughts on Dogma that you guys have.
I think Chris Rock does a really good job. I almost want to say he steals the show. Like, he's the one guy that comes close to stealing Jay and Silent Bob's thunder, because he's just that good and that convincing.
When you take somebody that's that funny,
yeah,
they could pretty much run away with the scene.
Rock is great in it, and so is George Carlin in his limited role as a cardinal. We didn't talk about, he didn't want to wear his ring because he had just lost his wife recently, but they used a Band-Aid to go around his ring instead because he didn't want to have to take it off. But then a lot of cardinals would wear rings to signify their marriage to the church, which I've actually never heard that before.
Never heard that
until reading
either.
This for this movie. Because being raised Catholic, I had never heard that. But
yeah.
I guess Carlin wanted to pay respects to his wife and didn't want to take the ring off, you know.
That makes sense. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I guess, you know, we can talk about, you know, growing up Catholic and, you know, our perspective on this movie. I think both of us are pretty like, hey, you know when a joke is a joke. You know, we both of us grew up Catholic, actually from sister churches. Both of our churches are in the same network, same diocese, same everything. And I think this movie is hilarious, but I know that, you know, old school fire and brimstone people, like Kevin Smith says in his interview, talking about his protest, that's all the people who were there at that protest, they're all like 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
He's like, I was the youngest person there for like 50 years. So, you know, we can tell who was really mad at this. Us young people, we don't get worked up about this.
A few other notes about the film is that Kevin Smith himself is Catholic. So in a sense, yeah, he was making fun of his own religion. He originally wanted Gillian Anderson to play Bethany, but her scheduling with X-Files made it not possible to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There was also, he wanted Danny Elfman to compose the score.
Oh, wow.
Because he really wanted to have like a superhero type score, but that didn't happen. So little things like that, because he did feel this was like, it was only a budget of $10 million. It made $31 million, so it did well at the box office for a low budget film. But he just felt like this was his most epic movie he had done to date, so he really wanted to have like an epic score and all that, but it didn't work out. It has one of my favorite Star Wars lines in any of the Kevin Smith films.
I was about to say.
Where they're at the bar and Jay is like, I'm like, it's like, I'm Han, he's Chewie, and she's Ben Kenobi, we're in that fucked up bar. It does have my favorite Star Wars lines, because Kevin Smith is well known for putting Star Wars lines into his films and being heavily influenced by it.
Oh, big time.
So this has one of my favorite Star Wars quotes. And of course, Jay spends half the movie just trying to have sex with Bethany.
Yes.
Because yeah.
End of the world.
Well, she has to convince them to go with her, because they're the prophets, right? And they're like, no, we're not doing that, you know? So she goes, so he tells her, if the world's ending and all this, it's really going to happen, you're going to have sex with me? And she basically tells him, yeah. So Jay's like, okay, I'll go with you just see what happens. Yeah.
And then whenever the world is about to end, she doesn't fulfill what she said.
Yeah, and he's all like taking his clothes off. And he's freaking out at the end because there's like dead bodies everywhere because Bartleby and Loki have killed a lot of churchgoers.
Mm-hmm.
And God shows up and Jay's like, what the fuck? What the hell? Fuck.
Who the fuck is she?
What the fuck is it? And God just walks up to him and puts her hand on his mouth and gives him a kiss. And he's like, ooh, okay.
And yeah. Knocks out.
Yeah, he just falls over. And Jason Mewes is really, really good in this movie, too.
He is.
We give credit to Chris Rock and the other great actors in the movie. But Jason, man, he brought it for this movie. And he does a good job. And another one, Ming Chen, our friend of the show.
Yeah.
He just started working for View Askew around the time that was getting made. So he has a little cameo in it. I wouldn't even call it a cameo. It's just sort of sitting at a bar.
Yeah.
Back in 1999. No one knew he was.
Selma Hayek.
And it's funny, man. He looks like he does now.
Yeah, like he does.
Fucking Asians, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. They don't age.
But that's really cool. So final thoughts on Kevin Smith's Dogma, y'all think?
I enjoyed it. I think it's a funny film. It is a little bit of a mess, but I think they allude to that all the time. They make fun of themselves, and it's, you know, I think because of that, it's, you know, one of his better movies, one of his funnier movies. And there's a lot of really good Jay and Silent Bob moments in here. Wouldn't be surprised if these end up in two of our top three.
I was like, when y'all brought it up to watch, I was like, oh man, it's been a while since I watched this.
Yeah.
Is it gonna hold up? You know,
and it does.
And then I watched it and I was like, hey, I actually enjoyed this.
It's a fun movie. It's you can't watch it thinking about the controversy of it. You just take it for what it is. You enjoy it. It's a really well done film. I don't know if it's necessarily my favorite Kevin Smith film, but I think it's top three for me. I really like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. As cheesy as it is, it's a fun. Clerks is probably my second favorite, then Mallrats, then this. So it's probably my fourth on Kevin Smith films. I know Chasing Amy is his critical darling and his critical film, but it's not something I'm going to reach for to watch all the time because it's really serious and mm-hmm. It's a love story. And it's like, you know, I'll watch it now and then, but it's funny. We're going to talk about, before we get into the news stories of the day, we're going to talk about Jay and Silent Bob's favorite moments of ours in the films.
Yes.
And I will start. One of my favorite moments is the scene from Chasing Amy. They're only in it one scene, but I like that scene because it brings Jay and Silent Bob down to a certain level where, yeah, these guys are stoners and they might not always have their shit together, but they're true friends to they're true to their friends. And that's why I love that moment. You know, what was Jason Lee's character in it? I can't remember his character name, or Ben Affleck's character in Chase Name. But anyway,
oh, yeah.
So he goes to talk to him for advice, and Silent Bob has his longest dialogue in any of the movies, and he speaks to him. And it just shows you that these guys might not have their crap together, but Jay and Silent Bob are those kind of buddies you wish you always had because you know you can rely on them. You know, and that's one of my favorite scenes.
Nice.
And I have a couple more, but what's one of your favorite Jay and Silent Bob scenes?
I'd say like my number three would probably be whenever they're in the diner, and he's like, yeah. So whenever you blast chicks in the,
what?
Do they fart afterwards? Like, and they're having that that awkward sex conversation. with the scion, and I think it's just hilarious. Like Jay, like you said before, it's like he really brought it in that scene. I'm just like, it made me feel a little uncomfortable, almost as if I was there. And I'm like, this is just really awkward but hilarious. And just trying to figure out how he can still get in her pants.
What's one of your favorite Jay and Silent Bob scenes, Frank?
Oh, and Clerks, when they get asked what rolling papers are for, he's like, I got a leaky ass, so I put it right there on my butt.
Oh.
I thought that's in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's one of my favorite ones. It's just like, I love it when they
makes
ask
you wonder about Frank, huh?
I know, leaky ass.
No, it's just, I think it's funny.
My second favorite scene of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is in Dogma, and it's where they're fighting the ship monster. And Jay's like, what's he do? He like throws a broom or a mop or something.
Yeah.
And then Silent Bob just goes over there with the potpourri, and a ship monster falls out. And it's just really funny. And it's like,
what
it's
is that spray?
Simple. Yeah.
It says eliminates bad odors.
And before I do my favorite scene, I'm going to let you do your number two. I have an honorable mention. My honorable mention is when we first meet him in Clerks.
Okay.
And they're dancing to the heavy metal and all that. And Jay's getting people's faces as they're walking across the convenience store. That's probably an honorable mention. So what's another favorite of yours?
Number two would have to be whenever they're walking the chimp out of the out of the restaurant. And Will Ferrell's like, sir, he's like, he's like, I think I would know a chimp if I saw one. And they let him go. And he's like, all right, let's shoot some tear gas in there. And he's like, oh, crap, that was them, wasn't it? That whole scene, it just I thought that was hilarious. That's my number two.
I would say mine's more of a Jay scene than it's the Silent Bob when he is the clip master.
Oh.
And he's recording the video. You know, and he's just like going on about how he's the clip master.
Is that Clerks 2?
That's Jay and Silent Bob.
That's Jay and Silent Bob.
That is okay.
But like he makes the whole like the you know like blowjobs thing, and he's like, wait.
He's
like, did he try to make that looking?
I need to rewatch Silent Bob Strike Back.
My favorite Clerk scene, or Jay and Silent Bob scene, is from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and it's, of course, when they fight Cockknocker. They fight Mark Hamill at the scene.
Yeah.
It's definitely a huge nod to Star Wars, and it's just, like, the most fun scene I think they've ever done. And it's not necessarily the dirtiest joke scene or the best acted scene, but it's just a fun, funny scene, and I like that scene in that movie.
That's your favorite scene? I thought his favorite scene would have been that one when Jay's like got his shit tucked between his legs and dancing.
That's yours, bro.
That's
oh, that was yours.
No, not that one.
No, he said it was Mark's. His favorite.
I will give, since my number one is the same as yours, Mark, I'll give an honorable mention as well, and that's the stink hand from Mallrats.
That's a good one.
That is, I thought that was hilarious. The stink hand. And for a while there, I was like, I'm going to give you the stink
hand.
Well,
wait, that was Brody.
That was Brody. That
wasn't really Jay and Silent Bob. But there is a funny Jay and Silent Bob scene where they got the plans to try to steal the architecture.
Yeah, the beam from the
Silent Bob. He's flying and everything. Then he finally gets there. He tries to use the force, and the tank pops up to him. And he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. You know, what was your favorite Frank? We know it was Jay dressing like Hannibal Lecter.
No. But basically, mine's like a combination of it all. It's just basically Kevin Smith's facial reactions as Silent Bob to the shit that Jason Mewes says.
Yes.
You know, it's just like it's all funny. Hilarious.
Even
like,
though he's
like
bearded?
He doesn't have to have a line. It's just the looks on his face of the crap that comes out of his mouth is like throughout like every scene that they're in. So he sells the scene with his facial. It's like Jason Mewes could just, as Jay, could just say anything, but without those facial expressions to sell it, they're funny, but they're just not as funny.
Now that makes sense. That's him throughout the whole, like every movie, like you said.
It's like he wrote those two characters perfect for who was playing them, I think. Like he knew his friend, how his friend could deliver the lines, and he knew what needed to go with those lines with his facial expressions.
Well, it's funny is because he originally created these characters. He created Jay as himself because it's based on him. Mm-hmm. And then he was friends with Jason Mewes, but they realized that Jason kind of took the character over and made it himself. But originally, Jay was written how Kevin Smith kind of acted when he was a teenager and stuff in a lot of ways. And then they kind of flip-flop roles. And he ended up taking on the silent role because Kevin realized he didn't really want to have to talk that much when he was directing.
Yeah.
He felt it was easier for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
But good stuff, man. I think we'll definitely... There will be more Kevin Smith films we cover, I'm sure. Clerks is an all-time classic, which we'll have to cover one day. And we look forward to Jay and Silent Bob reboot coming out in theaters, hopefully sometime early next year, late next year. We don't know. It's supposed to start filming, I think, in September, Kevin Smith has said. So really soon. And I can't imagine. So his films usually aren't long shoots. So let's talk about some news that's going on before we talk about the next movie we're doing and prepare you people for episode 100 of the show. So CBS is apparently developing a new Star Trek TV show. And rumor has it that they might bring Jean-Luc Picard back and invite Patrick Stewart back. And you know,
what?
Started thinking about this. Why did they think of this sooner?
They should have thought of it sooner.
They've been trying to get Star Trek back off the ground for years on television. They have Discovery and they're all access, which I've heard has been semi-successful, but I think it's exactly what people said it was going to be. People subscribed, and they've already canceled after the 10 episodes are over, because people just subscribe just to watch Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
But this is a brilliant idea. As long as Patrick Stewart's in good health, you can bring him back. He doesn't even have to be the star. He could be there and play an admiral and be in there just enough that he directs things, but... Really smart, if you think about it.
Yeah, I feel a meme storm coming of angry Picard saying, why the fuck did you not think of this sooner?
But it's a genius idea, really. I mean, and you know, while you're at it, bring back the guy who played Sisko. I mean, really, and then bring a younger cast, do a Passing of the Torch TV series, have it take place in the next generation.
Make him more
era.
Of an admiral instead of a captain.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
You weren't listening.
No, I was.
He was.
But a really smart idea if you really start to think about it for this show. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if anything development comes out of it. A next news story is Star Wars reportedly is having the solo films put on hold, even or the spinoff films. But there's nothing that's confirmed of this.
Yeah.
It's just a report that got out there. I think maybe, if anything, a report probably popped out saying, you know what, we're not going to announce anything new right now. Let's focus on Episode 9 because of some of the backlash we've taken with Solo and things like that. And I have a feeling that's more of what this is. Because another report came out saying that, no, that's not true. They're just not talking about them right now. So I have a feeling it's probably a mix of the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we're still going to get more spinoff films because I don't think Disney's going to stop with this train. We're going to get a Star Wars movie every year almost.
Yep.
But they're just simply saying, you know what, we're going to back off from the news, let things play out. When we're ready to start the promotional campaign for Episode 9, we start it. And that's it. Nothing new till then. And that's probably a good idea. Just back off a little bit. You know? You feel like you want to say something, Matt. I can tell.
Actually, I want to say something.
Go for it.
You know, you talk about, like, people, they subscribe to CBS, and then they cancel it. Or, like, you know, you guys, y'all watch the YouTube for
We did the free
Cobra
trial,
Kai,
and then we canceled it. Yeah.
And then you canceled it. Harrison, that's going to happen a lot, I think. And pretty soon we're going to start seeing, like, the binge-watching kind of, like, lay back to where maybe these... Netflix and these things kind of like, oh, well, we're only going to release one or two episodes from this series a week.
Oh, you think there might be some repercussions to that?
Well, right. To where they kind of drag it out a little bit longer?
Well, CBS already did that. They were releasing an episode a week. So you had to stay subscribed for 2 months to watch all of Star Trek.
Right, but I'm just saying you're going to start seeing that played out even more once they start adding more content.
Maybe. Netflix has said they're not going to do that, that they want to continue. But I know what you mean. There are excuse me, streaming platforms that are going to do that. Like, I fully suspect the Teen Titans show that's going to be in DC Universe and not come all out at once, considering it just started filming.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling they're going to have episodes. But Netflix has come out pretty much and said that they want people to binge watch, that they don't want to release them separately. So you might get some stuff where they have seasons in parts, like they did with that Trollhunters TV show, the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
They did, like, in parts, and kind of did done with Voltron, little short six-episode seasons. But I don't think Netflix will go that route. But I think other streaming services may go because they don't want people to cancel so quickly. They want to try to keep them in. But Netflix is the juggernaut. It's the Walmart of fucking streaming. It can't be stopped at this point. And I don't see... They have no reason to release their
It can't be
shows
reasoned
a week,
with.
A week
it
at
can't
a time,
be
you know
bargained
I mean?
With.
Right.
They've got 3-4 million subscribers. Netflix doesn't have to do that. You know, but the smaller ones might have to. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And so next on the news.
Yeah.
Ninja Turtles. Okay, Paramount's going to reboot it again.
Again?
You know... The two live-action ones that came out weren't great,
no.
But they weren't so far out that I didn't feel you couldn't save it in the third one.
Yeah.
As long as you get a good writer and a good director and come in and make a good film. But, you know...
Hell, they kept beating away with the damn Transformers movies.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. At least make a comeback and try one more. But I guess they... the turtles are a little scary looking in the live action movies, and maybe they want to make them a little more
cartoonish.
Well, I wouldn't even say cartoonish, more family friendly,
like the ones from
how
the
do you make
90s.
A giant turtle look
hey
friendly?
Ninja Turtle 2 Secret of the Ooze, it's like the best Ninja Turtles ever.
If you can make apes and Planet of the Apes and care about them and give them emotion, you can do it with turtles. I fully believe you can do it with any.
I'm sorry, but with today's CGI, like, reptile looking things just don't have the same facial expressions as humans.
No, but I think you can do it the right way.
Yeah. Done well. I mean, look at the Geico gecko. You know, he's pretty friendly.
So
he's
Donatello's going to sell me insurance?
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's got a corporate job now.
Hey, if there was any Ninja Turtle that would, that would be Donatello. You know,
Michelangelo's like making pizza or something.
They're making the pizza.
And lastly, good old Tom Holland, man. He's at it again. Looks like he's spoiling things because he can't keep his mouth shut. He was on his Instagram. He released a picture showing that he had a script on an iPad, and it says Spider-Man Far From Home. Looks like he just released the title.
Yep.
Which, you know, think about it, it kind of makes sense. I thought it was weird that the logo was a different font, so I thought maybe it was fake, but apparently it's real. There's also been rumors that the title was not going home. So maybe there's playing with a couple of titles, but it looks like it's Spider-Man Far From Home, and we know they're filming in Paris and some overseas filming for this film, which I think is really interesting. You know, one thing I thought was cool about Christopher Nolan's Batman films is, like, he took Batman... In Batman Begins, we saw him overseas, and he went to Japan in The Dark Knight. We got to see Batman out of Gotham. And I think sometimes that's a good idea. Maybe it would be cool to see Spider-Man out of New York City, because we've seen a lot of Spider-Man films in New York City. So, you know, seeing him in a different element might be a lot of fun.
But isn't he dead?
No. Well, no.
How's he going to be in London if he's dead?
Well, supposedly, Tony Stark is dead in the film. Unconfirmed
rumor. And Avengers
rumor.
4 comes out before Spider-Man.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got to be alive.
But at the end of Infinity War, he died.
Maybe there's a twist to that.
Infinity 4-4, bitch. It's going to explain it all.
Yes. Let's not get into what could be, because we've all heard the extra dimension thing, or the Soul Stone thing where people have to go in, you get people back, and that's, you know, we can speculate all day, but we're going to have to wait for Avengers 4. That's plain and simple. Bottom line.
But he saw Peter... like vanish in his hands.
You saw your Peter vanish in your hands?
Yeah, Angel Man. Whatever, Angel Man. Yeah, you saw Mark saw his Peter vanish somewhere in you.
Yeah, here's the backlash. The backlash from Frank.
His comment is always like, you're going to make fun of me? Okay, you're gay.
You're gay.
You're like dick. You're gay. That's always Frank's comeback. It's never anything else. It's just like, oh yeah, you like your dick. Or,
well,
yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry for pointing out the obvious. I apologize. You know?
But I mean, you never
call me Captain Obvious
yeah,
here.
I mean, it's always like, yeah, you're gay, or yeah, you like a dick, yeah, whatever. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
We don't. Yeah, lights. Yeah. So Spider-Man 2: Far From Home looks like the title of next summer's sequel to Spider-Man: Homecoming 2. You know, and sequel to Avengers: Infinity War. Yes. Yeah.
And so, sequel to Ant-Man and Wasp. In
possibly.
A way.
So,
possibly.
So, all right. Well. Before we get out of here, well, we got to preview next week's film. Let's preview next week's film. Then we got some things to tell you before we get out of here. So next week's film, episode 99.
Yes. Man. Nine.
Almost 100. So we're going to go back 30 years for another anniversary coming up. This movie's celebrating its 30th anniversary this July. 30 years since it hit theaters. Man, I'm feeling old. We're going to do Die Hard.
We thank you one and all and wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
It's Christmas Eve in L.A. But a team of terrorists.
You want money? What kind of terrorists are you?
Who said we were terrorists?
Have their own holiday plans.
And I'm telling you, you're just gonna have to kill me.
Okay.
We do it the hard way.
But the one thing they didn't plan on was New York cop John McClane.
Got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
One blood, and you'll have it!
They have already killed one hostage.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Come to Papa, honey.
Are you really an American?
Only if New Jersey counts.
What does he think he's doing?
Good job.
artillery on us.
You idiot. It's not the police. It's him.
He's an easy guy to like.
Welcome to the party, pal.
And a hard man to kill. Bruce Willis. Die Hard.
Yes.
Man, wait, is that Christmas time?
You know, we just
we're doing a Christmas movie?
In July.
It's not a Christmas movie. We're going to talk about that next week. I don't
bullshit
care what
it ain't.
It's not a Christmas movie.
It's a fucking Christmas movie.
No, it's not. It's an action film that takes place.
It's an action Christmas movie.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Well, The Elf is not a Christmas movie then.
So what's Home Alone then?
The Elf is an action... Oh, yeah. Home Alone's an action movie.
Right.
I never thought Home Alone was a Christmas movie either. I thought it was weird that it airs at Christmas time. It's not really a Christmas movie. It just happens to take place at Christmas.
We will save this debate for next time.
But you know, we just did an Alan Rickman film, and Alan Rickman, of course, is in Die Hard, plays the bad guy. Yeah. This is kind of the action movie that, in some ways, took us from... We talked about Point Break on an earlier episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, you had your Commandos and your Arnold Schwarzenegger action films that were just, like, gun crazy, batshit, like, one guy can kill 500 people.
Yeah.
Where Die Hard brought along a more of a sense of realism, brought kind of action movies into the modern mainstream in some ways. And I think it's credit for that. And it made Bruce Willis a star. But, yeah, he was a TV star for Moonlighting. But back then, you were either a TV star or a movie star. Now you can do TV and movie because of streaming and Netflix and stuff like
that.
But back then, we're like, who's this guy that does Moonlighting? And here he is. He makes this action film that was a huge fucking blockbuster when it came out. It spawned four sequels. Four, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
One too many, but yeah.
Yeah, a couple of them. Two too many, I would argue that. Because that Good Day to Die Hard, my God, I'd rather wipe my ass and watch that. But we're going to talk about that, man. But Die Hard is a favorite of all ours. We did an episode where we did our favorite action films, and this was on the top of a lot of our lists.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be a fun movie to talk about when we talk about Bruce Willis in 1988's Die Hard next week. So before we get out of here, we are getting that countdown episode 100. So we want to hear from you people, okay? You're going to see me spamming this on social media a lot, but we want voicemails at 281-815-0582. I repeat, like a salesman looking for you to buy a car, 281-815-0582. Leave us a voicemail. You know why? Because we will play it on the show.
Can we get Arnold to do that number?
I think Arnold will probably send us a congratulations.
Yes.
Send us your congratulations. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. If you have audio equipment, our fellow podcasters, send us something to the Rebel Radio Podcast at yahoo.com. We'll play a recording. Leave us stuff on Twitter, our Facebook page, our Facebook group, which is even more important. If you're not a member, join it.
Yes.
Because we really want to make the 100th episode very special. We're not even going to tell you what movie or what we're talking about yet. Partially because we're completely undecided, even though we have an idea it might change.
Yeah. Make up y'all's damn minds.
So episode 100 is coming, and we thank y'all for support so far in the first 98 that we've done, and we've got a couple more to 100. Because we do love doing the show.
You mean one more?
This is 98. 99 isn't out yet.
You said a couple more till
100. 99 to 100. That's a couple.
No, 100 would be 100. A couple would be two more before 100.
99 and then 100.
So one more before 100. I just love fucking with Mark.
I didn't know there were a freaking math teacher was here.
Jeez.
I just like messing with Mark. Anyway, hey, we continue.
So we're getting ready for a couple of more episodes of 100.
One more episode.
Until... Yes, Frank just got hit during the podcast.
That's right. The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Go to therebelradiopodcast.com. We have t-shirts for sale in the store there. We'd love if you bought one because it supports the show. We also have a donate button and Patreon coming soon. We were hoping to launch it at 100, but I don't think we're going to have it ready in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's looking like an August launch date because we want to make it kind of cool. We want to have some cool rewards for you people that want to do the subscribe through us through Patreon. So we're planning that out very carefully so that it doesn't suck. Like Frank and his little bitch-ass comments. Those suck.
Been a couple of comments.
Thank you for always listening to the show. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Frank.
Just go there and
do it.
Hey, this is Marky Ramone, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and this is Rebel Radio Podcast.